Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What is going on, Notre Dame fans? Mike Singer and Tim Hyde with this week's Notre Dame football show. Tim, I'm pretty sure we did a show last Wednesday, but it still feels like it was forever since we've done one of these. Am I wrong here?
I mean, we had Chris Zorich.
That was a great show.
We had Zorich.
We had one Notre Dame legend. We're bringing on another Notre Dame legend here in just a couple minutes, and Mike Goolsby. Man, fired up for the show. Tim, how are you doing, my friend?
Well, speaking of that, yeah, when are we going to get Mike and Zorich on together and just talk Chicago high school football? That's what we need. Since Notre Dame is making a deeper push into Chicago, we need to get those two guys on, talk about the glory days.
Like Joey says, please, folks, hit the thumbs up on this video. And he dropped a super chat. He said to support my three favorite Notre Dame football analysts. Hey, Joey, definitely appreciate that. Hopefully the stream is working just fine for everybody. Please let us know in the comments if anything is acting up. But yeah, I mean, we there's so much news to discuss here lately, and I know some of it, like, hey, the Jarrett Parker thing, that was, what, 10 days ago or something, like that's old, or a couple weeks, that's old news. But there's a lot more to kind of reflect on, so we're going to do just that in today's video. And let's go ahead and bring on the main man, Mike Goolsby. Mr. Goolsby, how are you doing, sir?
What's up, Michael? What's up, Tim?
Hello.
Man, have you been on a Wednesday show with us before? Our little Notre Dame football show? We bring you on. We update our graphics. Everything looks snazzy.
I'm honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, last time Mike was on was, it was Drew Pine. When we all got together on Pine, and he was on his phone driving.
I felt like that was the coolest show we've ever done. I had like six different people on. We just kept bringing in people in. That was an awesome show. Okay. Yeah, biggest Notre Dame show we've done. One of them. Was the Drew Pine news.
Drew Pine.
So much care about Drew Pine, especially from Mike Goolsby.
Sadly, conflict creates content. You know, put that on a t-shirt, but it's true, you know.
Add that to the list of the many t-shirt ideas that we have.
I'm writing it down.
All right, folks, please do hit that thumbs up on this video. Subscribe to our YouTube channel for more content. Get your comments, get your questions, drop super chats. We'll get to all of it. Just kind of have a free-flowing discussion tonight. We're going to start with the whole buyout thing because, yes, while it's a little bit of old news, Marcus Freeman had a press conference on Monday, and I tweeted out a little bit of an update from Marcus Freeman. His opening comments in his press conference, it's gold. If you haven't seen it, definitely go watch it. It's on our YouTube page. This is what he said. At no time during the process did I not have the support of our administration. This is regarding the whole offensive coordinator situation going after Andy Ludwig and Pete Thamel's report that the buyout was an issue. Freeman also said he's been willing to pay whatever buyout there's been. Swarbrick has never shied away from paying a buyout. So I actually want to go to Goolsby on this first. Do you think that this is the truth, or do you think this is a guy covering for his boss? I can see it going either way. I would totally understand it going either way as well.
Yeah, I think it's probably the latter. It's absolutely the latter. I think what's – and I don't want to – we're going to work our circle here of communication, but the Swarbrick letter, I don't think we can overlook that either. That was like borderline bizarre to me. But yeah, I think Coach Freeman at his presser, that's a little bit of CYA for his boss and Jack Swarbrick. Absolutely.
Tim?
I think there's probably degrees of truth, Mike.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, somebody dropped the ball. There's a fumble here at some point to a degree, right? I mean, this didn't run smoothly. I think we all agree there. Where did the error come from? Who committed said error? Maybe we'll never know. But yeah, I think Freeman, you know, he's learning how to be a head coach, Tim, right? You got to stand up and face the firing squad and say the right things.
So here is some of that for folks watching on YouTube. You can read that email that he sent out. Certainly interesting. Tim, did you have any thoughts on this email specifically?
I'm probably the absolute, I may be the only one. I should go on Twitter and just start posting my thoughts. It's like,
oh gosh,
I think I'm the only one who thinks it's Jack Swarbrick laughing at everybody. I do. I think he's like kind of mocking people, like the opening. And then the end, to me, the ending is, I think it's pretty classic. I don't read, I mean, number one, he's a lawyer. So you never read what lawyers put out as word, as the actual black and white. There's hidden meanings everywhere. There's some Hollywood lawyers I know who've been a few of my team dads before, and they taught me how to write some stuff. And
Tim,
where he's asking for money is okay. Just like, he's mocking people. Like, you guys don't think we have money? Then donate. But I think it's a little dig at the overreaction on Monday night that people just went nuts. I've seen people on Twitter post their emails to Father Jenkins and Dr. Jack, and it's just like, man, you guys went crazy. It's like, whatever.
There is. I mean, it's passive aggressive, though, Tim. We agree there.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's being aggressive. Number one, there. I was stunned he did it. Why? It's like, you didn't need to do that. It's like, who gives a damn what the heck people are posting on Twitter and shouting from the rooftops on YouTube? Who cares? But the fact that he did that was less. I think it's the opposite of what people think. I think it's a dig. I think he's kind of mocking some people out there, is my take.
Tim, where do you stand on the Freeman's comments in terms of PR versus just the truth? But yeah, I typically, as the great Loose Mojo, I would always say it, the truth lies somewhere in the middle.
Sure. You know what? The whole buyout thing, people act like, oh, no, you know, people are like, oh, here's the buyout, and you write a check in 15 minutes. It's like, so I just went, you know, this thing called Google. You go on Google and you start looking up things. So who are the hot names the last couple of years? Marcus Freeman, right, going to either LSU or Notre Dame. Okay. Marcus Freeman's buyout, $60,000. Jim Knowles, the best DC in the country from Oklahoma State, going to Ohio State. You know what? How much his buyout was? $65,000. Garrett Riley, same thing. Dirt cheap to go from, TCU to Clemson. And speaking of Garrett Riley, if Garrett Riley goes to the NFL for any job or takes a college job, his buyout is zero. So I wouldn't be surprised if Notre Dame, and that's the other thing on this Ludwig thing, is he has a lifetime contract. That's his three-year rolling cycle. And I guess you posted, Mike, right? The rolling cycle just kicked in on February 1st, I believe. That's when it jumped from like $40,000 to $2.8 million or whatever it was, his buyout. And Notre Dame was like, are you kidding me? $3 million buyout for an assistant football coach? On top of that, what's that?
I got to say something.
Yeah, so go for it.
Interject, building off of what you're saying. So look at it through the lens of these disgruntled Notre Dame fans, right, Tim?
Yeah.
So like, oh, we're not willing to pay $2.8 versus $60,000. Like that 2.8 number, are you saying that they jacked that 2.8 number because Notre Dame was in the mix?
No. That's how the contract.
Are you saying that for an assistant coach, 2.8 is astronomical?
It's ridiculous.
Okay, that's what you're saying.
And then you're like, well, Alabama would have paid it. Find me. I posted this to some people. It's like, find me one coach Alabama has paid $3 million to go get. Find me one. Kirby Smart did. Kirby Smart just walked down the hallway and got his analyst to be his OC.
So, do we know why that figure might have went from 60K to 2.8?
How I've read it on the Utah message boards, and Pete Sampson of The Athletic has written about this, where he's basically got a lifetime contract, meaning, you know, he's stay there for life and it rolls over every 3 years. And the new contract kicked in, and this amount just shot skyrocketed up. Because who's going out there going to, you know, go pay for that and stuff like that? And it also, I look at it another way, is he signed the contract knowing that. The guy's born and bred in Utah. He's never planning on leaving. He went to Notre Dame, got excited. This is my quick little take on it. Got excited, goes home on Super Bowl. Whittingham's with his son, what coaches on one of the teams. Hey, we'll meet Monday. But you know darn well they've been talking. So as he's sitting at home, he's got family, Swarbrook, and all the guys are looking like $3 million, and he wants to bring the O-line coach. We're looking at $4 million buyout. The O-line coach's buyout is more than the guy makes as well. It's crazy.
So, Tim, playing devil's advocate, Tim, sure. You're saying that the two-point – you guys like American Pickers, the show on the History Channel. You guys ever watch that show?
I know what you're talking about.
Okay. So sometimes they'll watch it, and you'll watch the show, and then Mike will be like, what's your I don't want to sell it price? So, yeah. Like, they'll just throw out some stupid number. Like, okay, if you're going to – so you're kind of saying that 2.8, if it jumped from 60K hypothetically to 2.8, that's the I don't want to sell it price, right?
Yeah.
But then we're also saying that it's such – what you're saying, Tim, it's such a absurd number.
Is this right?
So then maybe we weren't willing to pay it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they all sat there, scratched their head, and like, we're dishing out millions of dollars for an assistant football coach. No one else is doing this.
So it'd be bad business. It's bad business.
If you add in someone, I saw someone wrote this on Twitter, which I thought was pretty interesting, was, you know, talk about the buyouts and if, you know, the O-line coach was going to come because Stan leaves. All the money you dish out for these two football coaches was going to be double Freeman's salary for at least a year. Consider the buyouts and all that stuff. So it's like, how does that look? You know, no one wants to talk about that, whether that's right or wrong. And Freeman's building his program and he wants these guys, but these two guys are making combined more money than Freeman. I thought that was kind of odd. And did Notre Dame think of that? And the whole, oh, they weren't going to pay it. There's never been anyone who ever said Notre Dame was never going to pay it. They said it was an obstacle. And if Pete Thamel doesn't use that word obstacle, and Freeman, who, by the way, I did not like his answer on the hockey game, is ridiculous. If they don't go to that stupid hockey game, none of this is an uproar. That hockey game blew everything out of proportion.
Yeah, you're saying it blew it out of proportion because of my point. Like, that was their way of saying this is our guy. You that's what you're kind of getting at.
Yes, 1,000. Yes, total agreement with you, Singer. Because going to that, it's not a recruit. You take recruits, you're walking them around. You don't take coaches to a damn hockey game to, hey, this is Notre Dame. No, Notre Dame is the football office where we lift, where we meet, where we practice. You know, if you want to go to a hockey game with your family in February, go for it. Taking him out in public, Freeman's answer, you know, to one of the questions was just like, well, we take our top recruits there. Yeah, this is not recruiting. This is trying to get a ball coach, taking him out in public. Man, yeah, if you don't get him, look at the uproar that just happened, Coach Freeman.
Tim, isn't it usually like when you bring the coach on campus for an interview, that's kind of like the final thing, like it's basically already a verbal.
Yeah,
kind of deal. Like when Reese went down for his, he was already a done deal. I even put that on our message board. Yeah. I was like, it's really just crossing the T's and dotting the I's. But yeah, not for Notre Dame in this one.
Well, they do this, you know, he did Zoom. So he talked to all these guys for hours, met them, did their background. He watched film as he talked about in his press conference. You know, he wants to keep the offense the same. He wants to run the ball. He's got tight ends, play action, tack vertical. You know, vertical, you know, deep, go deeper. You know, when you get a quarterback who could throw more than 40 yards, as we've done mathematically with Pine Singer. So we've done that exercise. So once you get a quarterback who could throw, you know, 40 and a half yards.
You know, he wants
to keep it the same. That's what he wants to do. So, and he went out and found Klein at Kansas State, spitting image. They're going to run the ball down your throat, play action, do some quarterback keepers. In Utah, you watch Utah and Notre Dame, find me three differences. I mean, they do so much stuff similar. If anything, Utah's more heavy on tight end packages than Notre Dame, which would blow people's mind away when you really sit there and you start to break down Utah. So very, very similar in how Utah and Notre Dame does a lot of their stuff. They just have a better quarterback in Rising than Pine, and that's how, you know, they executed this year.
Goolsby, you have any other thoughts on this?
I just think the whole thing, I think it's a fun exercise to go back to when Brian Kelly left. Because so much has happened in, what, 12, 16, 18 months. I mean, it's been, for lack of a better word, it's been interesting. And I think that you see the guys that Freeman's bringing in here with Parker and our new quarterback coach, Gino, like he's bringing in his guys. My question is, Tim, is he leaning on, like, these are the guys he wants in the foxhole, right? The proverbial foxhole analogy. Or is it these other young coaches? Because it does matter. And you know this, Tim. Whose wagon are you going to hitch your coaching star to, right? So in my experience, right, like if you were affiliated with Urban Meyer during his rise, like you got a head coaching gig. You're a Dan Mullen, right?
Yeah.
If you hitched your wagon to Ty Willingham, you're coaching in the CFL. So some of these young coaches around the country, you know, these sexy names, those guys are watching. Let me let this Marcus Freeman experiment. Let me watch this play out for another year before I jump on that ship. So is it Freeman's going with his foxhole guys? Because these young coaches got families. I mean, this is their career.
Yeah.
Is it them being a little bit hesitant? You know, what is this going to turn into? And that's where I'm optimistic. As long as we can recruit, I'm optimistic. That's all I give a shit about, truly. But it's been a little messy, and I don't think you can say anything else. It's been a little bit messy.
Well, going back, Singer, to Freeman's press conference was, you know, he did talk about a national search. Yeah, he went to Utah, Kansas State. You know, I'm sure he did, you know, another 10 Zoom interviews, a dozen. I'm sure he reached out to a lot of people. There's talk, you know, obviously Byron Leftwich is an NFL guy, personally called Freeman to talk to with the job. The comments about the MAC coaches, which was always puzzling, you know, a MAC coach leaving a head coaching job to be an OC. That, I think, goes to Goolsby's point, which goes back to Andy Ludwig. He's sitting there. It's Notre Dame. Yes, it's Notre Dame. He's almost 60 years old. He's not looking to be the Utah head coach or whatnot. So he's looking at it. He's excited, goes home, hangs out with the family. And it's like they're going for a three-peat Rose Bowl at Utah. Or do I do what Goolsby just said? Do I jump on this Freeman thing? Do I jump on this Notre Dame thing? We just lost four games. What's going to happen here? You know, they got a rental quarterback for 1 year. What the heck's happening in 2024? Who's to say an offensive coordinator of nearly 30 years doesn't sit back and start putting all these things on the whiteboard and looking at the pros and cons? And, you know, the information came out where Notre Dame kept talking to Utah all the way through Tuesday. Ludwig finally said on Tuesday, where it came out with Heather Dinich of ESPN, where she just said, I'm done. I'm going to stay. So it's not like Notre Dame never stopped. I think I really, truly believe a lot of this was Andy Ludwig just sitting back, going to Goolsby, saying, like, I'm going to hang out with Kyle Whittingham, a guy I've known my
life. Who's a hell of a coach.
Damn good ball coach.
Hell of a coach.
Yes.
And then there's the Heistin. Then there's the Heistin element.
Yes.
Which is, you know, like he comes out of retirement to come back for a year. Reese leaves. Ludwig seems like he's in the bag. He's going to bring his O-line coach. Harry Peace is out. Like, it's just bad, man. It's like, it's kind of like I said, it's messy. Now you got this young staff. You've got a young staff over there. Whispers about Golden leaving. It's been, I mean, consistency, Tim, is the truest measure of performance, right? So it's like Freeman has got to find just some consistency. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm just about to lose my mind on the YouTube chat. Guys, like, you can't – I don't want anyone saying that they know anything definitively on this, because we don't know. Like, none of you know.
You know, jumping on the Harry thing, and that's an interesting thing, you know, because obviously Harry's in retirement. That's, you know, he's been retired for 2 years. He's hanging out, you know, chilling in South Bend, coaching guys in the garage, as we've learned. But, you know, he's involved. He loves Tommy. He coached with Tommy. went to a national championship game, even though he's a backup. But Tommy was on the team. He's the team leader in 13 and all that stuff. So he's always kept close ties to Tommy. Tommy goes to him, says, "Hey, I'm staying. I'm not going with Kelly. Come out of retirement." He stands and says yes. But at the same time, the fact that as soon as Tommy left, no one really talked about Harry as if, well, Harry's staying. Harry's like, it sounds like he went to Freeman the same day and just said, "I'm here for Tommy. Tommy's gone, I'm gone." So how much money did Harry Hiestand put into Notre Dame, really? He knew he was on borrowed time, correct? It sounds like he was on borrowed time until Tommy left, whether that's now or next December. So, so he got as much as he can out of the old line, and now he's got to go find a new one.
Yeah, if you thought Harry Hiestand was going to be around for a decade, I don't know what you were thinking.
No.
Just all this stuff is optics, right? Again, our boy Colin talks about this often, like the optics of things, right? The timing at which you hired Parker, I like the hire, and I think people forget Parker's career was going like this, and then he got into a little bit of trouble. If anybody's looked this up, like, he got into a little bit of trouble, and then his coaching career kind of took a couple steps back, and then he got back. Because he's a great coach. He got right back on the path to success. But the turnaround to hire Parker, it felt like almost needy in a way. To me, it's like, I almost wish they would have just given it a couple more days. It just wouldn't have come across as such a knee jerk, almost. Desperate's too strong of a word, but just the turnaround to hurry up, like the Ludwig crap happened. It's like, okay, now Parker's our OC. It's like, well, that was a little quick, to me. That was my take on the hire.
Yeah, it sounds like he interviewed that Tuesday where Notre Dame was still talking to Ludwig. Coach said, "No, I'm staying at Utah," and he interviewed Parker that same day. So that's when he just moved on that quick. And you're right. It was, so goes back to the national search. Was Parker, after he talked to these dozen coaches and, you had guys in the NFL, head coaches, other OCs, it sounds like Parker was third on his list. He went straight to him. But that's going back to you, Goolsby, as we've chatted this last week as well, is just, just being comfortable. Just being comfortable at the end and choosing him to be his OC instead of going outside the box for that big position, which he did try. I mean, he went after Colin Klein, who's only been an OC for 1 year. I found that fascinating that he thought he could, that he was the guy right away.
I wouldn't have liked that hire personally.
I found that a head scratcher. A guy been an OC for 1 year and lived his whole life in Manhattan, Kansas. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it seems like a losing proposition, like where, Colin Klein, Kansas State, they kind of caught lightning in a bottle, Tim, for one year. And then you go chase that. I don't know if that's like a winning proposition. I don't know if that's, again, smart business. You feel me on that? Like, if he can replicate that, sure. But I wouldn't have liked that hire. But I think with Parker, the upside, he knows the personnel. I mean, we liked Tim. I think we like Tommy as a play caller. I think we like Tommy as a play caller a lot. You as a coach, there's, if coaching is a pie chart, I mean, play calling is a slice of that pie chart, right? Development, recruiting. That was my knock on Tommy, was like, obviously the recruiting and development of a quarterback. And then also like looking at the pieces that he had on the team, on the roster, and what is their best fit. And it just seemed like it took a half a season before he figured out, this guy's better served to play inside versus outside, this type of run versus that type of run. I think going into 2023, with Coach Parker, you can skip all of that kind of feeling out period, because hopefully he has a much better idea of the personnel and what they're best suited for.
Tim, when you look at just Parker, the coach, and his, career here, like, let's put the whole Ludwig drama behind us. But like, when you just look at his credentials, what do you kind of think about his experience here?
He's got a lot. He's coached at a lot of different places. His interview was excellent. Listening to him talk, and he talked about what Randy Sanders. Randy Sanders is big time, Southern SEC assistant coach, long time Phil Fulmer, Kentucky. you know, Randy Sanders been around everywhere. He mentioned him by name, how he was kind of his, you know, father figure getting going in coaching, which I thought that was awesome, because I've heard Coach Sanders speak at a clinic before. Great football coach. The one thing, you know, it's kind of getting overlooked is the interim coach. And with the interim, I'm not worried about record. I, you know, you take over as an interim coach, it's a train wreck. You fire a guy in the middle of the season. It's a mess. I like the fact that he was chosen. So if you're chosen to be an interim coach by the administration, they believe that you could control a room, basically, correct? You could manage these guys. You could communicate with these guys. So that right there shows me, you know, he's got some great communication skills. He knows how to work with people, knows how to be a leader. It's going back to, not that he's Dabo Swinney, but Dabo was that, correct? He was, hey, he's just a wide receiver coach. He's like, you guys want me to be the interim coach at Clemson? All right, what the heck? And but Dabo has, obviously, we've seen the history with him. He's a communicator. So I kind of like that little realm. And he's been with David Cutcliffe, who's a heck of a football coach. He's got experience with him. The year at Penn State, they went and won the Cotton Bowl. You know, you watch that offense, it's unbelievable. They lost two barn burners, Ohio State and Minnesota, that year. That offense was explosive in 2019. And then on Parker talking about the red zone stuff and all this West Virginia stuff, no one knows what the heck he did. And I found that was pretty honest what he said. Like, he read between the lines, he says West Virginia was a mess.
Train wreck, yeah.
It was a train wreck. It's a mess. Head coach doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He gave me a couple assignments. I did them. And he did. And when you look at his numbers, it sounds like he was in charge of red zone and it improved every single year. So his one little thing, but it just sounded like everyone had a hand in the offense and it was a mess at West Virginia. So can't judge him by that. He's not the head football coach. He definitely sounds like a good soldier. You tell me what to do, I'm going to go do it. And that's what I got from listening to him.
All right, we're going
to
go a little rapid fire through some super chats. Just one ND gal. Appreciate the 10 here. Comments says, pray that Ryan Day keeps the Ohio State in the playoffs in the Final Four indefinitely, because if he fails, guess who will get the head coach call? I think that kind of depends on how Notre Dame does under Marcus Freeman. But Goolsby, do you have any thoughts on this real quick?
I agree with exactly what you just said, Mike. That would have been my response word for word.
Pat myself on the back. Tim, any thoughts?
Yeah, people always say Freeman's
a 30 seconds, Tim, not a 30 seconds.
Hey, these people are saying Freeman's going to Ohio State. He ain't going to Ohio State unless you win. Just because he's a Buckeye and he was a team captain doesn't mean he's automatically going there. You got to win football games. And Ohio State, we'll see what he does at Notre Dame.
Really appreciate the super chat. King Lou says, you guys haven't spoken about Tyson Ford in a while. He didn't play last year. What's going on with him? I mean, I don't know, unless it's a quarterback, we usually don't talk about players who aren't playing. I mean, Tyson Ford's a good player. We'll see if he breaks into the defensive line rotation this year. Appreciate the super chat. I don't think
I can add something there, Mike. Yeah,
please do.
If we recall in high school, he was kind of a big end. Is that right?
Yes.
So now he's kicked inside to a three technique, I presume.
I'd say three or five. Jury still might be out.
Well, he's a three technique from what I remember watching this film. Because I remember my comp for him was like, and again, I do these fun comps.
Yeah.
Was Chris Jones from Kansas City, just in terms of like the size that he's going to grow into, the length, the movement and all that. So, you know, Tim, you could probably touch on that, but that's a big adjustment from like a high school stud defensive end. Now you're going into getting double teams and all that.
Yes.
Like for a kid like a Tyson Ford, you could put him in some sort of third down jet package, you know, two wide, three techniques, and just let him go play. Tyson Ford can kind of be a microcosm for like Freeman's tenure, fellas. Like, dude, like young kids have to play. Like, you know, if 2023 is such a big year, Tim, it's like we got to play kids, young kids, kids that have some of Freeman's kind of fingerprints on them. I'm not going to leave my, you know, head coaching career at Notre Dame in the hands of guys that somebody else recruited and that they have hit their ceiling. You know, I think it's an easier narrative for Freeman to sell that we're playing young guys. You know, the potential is still there. We're getting incrementally better. But Tyson Ford, yes, to the super chat, is another one of those young kids that he's got to develop a role. And if he's not a full-time starter, create a little bit of a niche role for him.
Okay, a couple super chats kind of about Matt Luke. This news came out from Football Scoop before we started recording. Hank says, if Jarrett Parker offense can score points, develop, and recruit, who cares? That's the dream. More interested in Matt Luke as a possible O-line replacement from Georgia. Thoughts? JP says, go get Matt Luke for offensive line and stops the cheap Notre Dame talk. JP and Hank, really appreciate these super chats. So, yeah, really interesting ball coach. I mean, you got Jarrett Parker, who has that thick country accent. Yeah, you'd be getting another guy from the South here. So, Matt Luke, yeah, played at Ole Miss, was the co-OC and O-line coach at Ole Miss from 2012 to 16, a period where Ole Miss was doing all sorts of sketchy stuff. So if you want Notre Dame to buy players, maybe this is your – I'm totally kidding. Bad joke. And then head coach at Ole Miss from 17 to 19, and then was at Georgia from 2019 to 2021, and stepped away in 2022 from coaching, spent more time with his family. And as we – know with that kind of thing, when someone wants to step away from the family, they spend a lot of time with their family and then decide, you know what, I want to get back into coaching. So here he is, you know, report that he is very high on Notre Dame's wish list for this position. What would you think about him, Tim, if Notre Dame's to go this route?
First off, I would be shocked because he's a deep South guy. He hasn't, you know, he hasn't crossed those, that Mason-Dixon. He hasn't gotten up there yet. He's a deep South guy. Great football coach. He really is a good football coach. He's, once again, you look at guys he's been around, played for Tommy Tumberville, you know, obviously then, oh my God, David Cutcliffe, you know, he learned under him, worked with Philip Fulmer, who before Philip Fulmer was a great football coach at Tennessee, he was a long time offensive line coach for Tennessee. So obviously he learned how to coach O-line from there. And going back to this interim thing, he became the interim coach after they fired Hugh Freeze and all that fiasco with Coach Freeze. They picked Matt Luke because he could command a room. He could command a team. He goes out. I think they went 6-6 his first year. Couldn't go to a bowl. Stays there 3 years. Got fired. I think it was the wide receiver incident, correct? I was just reading about some stuff the other day when I started looking at old lines. Remember the wide receiver in the Egg Bowl that faked peeing on the hydrant? Yeah, I think he got let go after that. You know, goes to Georgia, you know, Kirby Smart hires him, does a great job, wins national championship. Their O-lines will just maul the heck out of you with those big guys. But took a year off, is burnout. There's some articles out there on the internet that are awesome to read about him. He's a deep family guy. ESPN followed him for an entire season, his first year in 17. It's called The Season. You can watch it on SEC Network. It's on all the time. I've seen a handful. He's been on my, you know, go-to list the last couple of days, just watching O-line guys trying to see who they're going to pick. So he would definitely be up there in the top three when it comes to elite guys Indy could get.
Goolsby, any thoughts?
I think Southern recruiting.
Yes. He's got ties.
He's got ties. Oh, no, man. High school coaches down there. He's been down there. I don't know, Tim, and this is, again, another instance where we need Lou back, but I don't know, Tim, is there a precedent at a Notre Dame? I mean, sure, we pulled plenty of players out of the South, but a coach that, you know, I mean, Mississippi is Mississippi, to come up to, like, you know, Midwestern cold academia of Notre Dame. I don't know if there is a precedent, but when I hear a name like that and you look at a resume like that,
yeah,
I just think of big Southern recruits. That's what I think of.
Well, that's funny you say that because, you know, I sort of, you know, because it's been so quiet on the front. Nothing's going out there. So you just start, you know, you see the mock list and you just start going down them. You got obviously the Minnesota coach. Well, you know, he's coached in the Midwest his entire life. You got, you know, Joe Rudolph, the Wisconsin coach. I love him because he played for Barry Alvarez. Coach, you know, he learned from Barry Alvarez, and then he's Paul Chris, and then he's at Va Tech now, but he's a Midwestern guy. And then with Matt Luke, someone had posted about him. I found that in this a couple of days ago. I started doing research on him, and it's like, man, is he really going to leave retirement? He's got $10 million in his bank. He even mentioned it. I got, you know, with all these buyouts, I got $10 million. What the heck do I need to coach for? You know, he's got plenty to live the rest of his life. So if Freeman gets him out of retirement, man, that is a recruiting win because he's going to go South.
Tim, is it fair to
find large dudes?
Is it fair to assume he's a man of faith?
Oh God, yeah. I mean, you just okay.
So that's if I'm, you know, them putting my salesman hat on, I'm trying to find some commonality with Coach down there. And I'll say this, just in terms of like Southern football versus what Notre Dame is.
Yeah.
You know, I was at the Clemson game this past year, and sitting next to a Clemson, if they're watching, I forget their names at this point. But husband and wife, husband was a diehard Notre Dame fan, but they were both from the South. Wife went to South Carolina. This is both of their first time coming to Notre Dame, being on campus. And these are like SEC football fans, and they were blown away. Blown away. So we tend to think like, oh, everything's better down South in terms of college football. But they were like blown away at the fan base, Notre Dame, the mystique, all of that. So I'd say this is me saying, you're telling me there's a chance.
Well, that's it's funny you say that, because, you know, Kirby Smart talked about that when they came up in 17 and all the Georgia fans that were just like raving about South Bend. They're like, how have we never been up here in our entire history of our program? And they, I mean, so many articles down South on the blogs and the internet talking about their fans, like, my God, going to South Bend was like, we got to do this once a decade. So you're right, Mike. When teams travel up there, they have a great time. They enjoy it. It's Notre Dame. It's still, no matter what people say, they're irrelevant. They don't care. Who cares? You haven't won a title in, you know, 100 years, all that stuff. It's still Notre Dame.
Yeah, and I think it'd be fun to just peel Coach apart in terms of, like, where did that burnout come from? You know, what was the genesis of that burnout, and how Notre Dame environment is different than an SEC football environment? But anyways, we'll see what happens.
That's a great point, because he mentions in one of the articles, you know, when he retired for a year, that it was just recruiting. He was like, my God, he's all same thing. In the South, you have to recruit every single second. And he says it's wild.
All right, we're going to read some more super chats. But first, we are going to hear from our sponsors over at Rogue Shop. First, Kevin says, Goolsby's so good at this. I agree, Kevin. He's the best. Well, listen, folks, the Rogue Shop is a husband and wife outfit, as Mr. Rogue and his wife, Char, are craft cannabis farmers who specialize in small batch sustainable plant medicine, a true holistic type of small business. They farm and grow everything themselves and do everything by hand. Their website to visit, as you can see on the screen for our YouTube audience, is rogueshop.com. They sell CBD, THC edibles, tinctures, smokables, bath salts, pain creams, topicals, vapes, candles, soaps, and so much more. Their website even has a 24/7 chat feature where you can talk to the owners of the store yourself. Please do check out rogueshop.com. If you have issues sleeping, if you have chronic pain, anxiety, stress, and you can use promo code blue and gold to get 10% off your order. That is promo code Blue and Gold, Indiana's place for legal CBD, THC, and more, a nationwide store. All right, we're going to bring the boys back in here.
Can I just jump in? I'm just reading some guys talking about, you know, well, this is what Freeman wants, and recruiting every day. You got to do that at Notre Dame. The South is different, because in the South, Mike, you know, you're in Atlanta. You could drive anywhere in a couple hours. If you're going to go to South Bend, Indiana, if you're going to go to Notre Dame, you have to plan it. So you have to plan it. You got to pick a date. You got to get the, are you flying? Are you driving? When you're recruiting, this is what Matt Luke talks about in the article. It's like they had tickets to a game, and it's like, oh, bam, we got to get these guys to make sure they don't go to Clemson, make sure they don't go to South Carolina, make sure they don't go to Alabama. Because all these guys they're recruiting are all within a four-hour drive. So it is different in the South compared to Notre Dame.
All right, let's go back to those super chats that we have. Rick says, last year was the hangover spoof. What do you think this year's will be, the replacements? I don't know. That'll be fun. Notre Dame always does a good job with these videos. Appreciate the super chat, Rick.
Is there a real, are they doing a Shamrock game, or is that just the Ireland thing?
Is that the Shamrock series, the Ireland game?
Yeah, or is it just a pause this year? Jeez Louise, I don't even know. Let's just get to Ohio State. That's all I care about.
Hank says, Goolsby brought up Golden. Is there enough of a sample size to accurately assess his play calling abilities? Marcus Freeman shopping for a new defensive coordinator next year. Goolsby, any thoughts?
Yeah, we went, remember, Mike, we went, I think it was at the tail end of the season, we went real quick. I kind of spun through some national statistics, yards per game, turnovers, et cetera. Like turnovers, we're dead last or second to last. You know, I would think that for a Notre Dame and the talent that we have, we were pretty middle of the road to me. So no, I wasn't blown away. I wasn't blown away by the defense that Al Golden rolled out. And I think that some of that, Tim, let's not get too off the rails here. This has the potential to take us way off the rails. But I do think that with Coach – and this – I'm already doing it.
Oh, God.
I'm not even one sentence in. So I think that Coach Golden got here, you know, he's in the Super Bowl. He gets to Notre Dame. Everything's a scramble. Everything with Freeman was kind of a scramble, right? So it's like, okay, who do I have? So like some of the players, like the DJ Browns, the Maris Leafiles of the world, he was like, okay, we're just going to roll with them. So he's trying to like install his defense. Meanwhile, like he's just going with what he's got. So I don't know if he's like having a fair chance to evaluate the talent of guys while he's trying to install a scheme. Does that make sense? Or like find a perfect fit for some kid within said scheme. So I think that the defense ought to be better this season because he has a full season of film to see what are these kids good at or what are they not so good at. But like some of this, man, like even on offense, like you got to start seeing Freeman's DNA here. Like, you know, Freeman's Cincinnati background, a lot of man coverage, a lot of turnovers, a lot of chaos. And we just didn't see it last year. If you lost Coach Golden, I don't think it'd be a huge loss personally. I don't. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, with defense, first off, you got the first time, you know, the first year they've had the same linebacker coach in a few years, right? You go obviously Lee, then you go Freeman, and now you got Golden finally there for 2 years. So, we'll see if that makes a difference. No, but I mean, your point is great where, yeah, he's right. The guy just finished coaching the Super Bowl, and now all of a sudden he's in South Bend a week later. So it is a little, you know, wild. He's just coaching the guys. Freeman was the DC. Hey, here's the stuff we did. These are where the guys played, all that good stuff. So,
if he takes, like, again, the whipping boy, Maris Leafiles, if he inherits Maris Leafiles, he goes through all spring trying to install. We get into week three, week four, week five. He's like, shit, he can't play. But I've got all this hay in the barn install, Tim. I've got all this hay in the barn with these kids, and it's hard to switch gears, you know, four or five, six games into the season. And over time, you did see some less rotation at spots. But to me, it comes down to the players. It's always going to come down to the players. And we've got to shore up the run and get some big bodies, Tim.
No, you're right. I mean, look at some of the games. I mean, some of the big games, they gave up 200 yards rushing.
We just know this. I mean, like stopping the run, Tim, is so simple. It's to give up these chunk plays over and over, drive extending chunk plays. It's unacceptable. It's just unacceptable.
All right. A couple more super chats. Gene dropped a five. Really appreciate it, Gene. He also just said, Singer is the best host and moderator in the world, Notre Dame football. I mean, I'm not going to agree with the guy. He's also the most handsome.
Cheers to Singer.
Most handsome guy named Mike Singer on the beat.
That's your wife in the other room. Get real.
Yeah, I was also yelling at the guy earlier. So, yeah, and I usually yell at her. So, there you go. In all seriousness, Lou Holtz Thunder and Bolts says, who offense and defense needs to have a breakout year next year for Notre Dame to take it to the next level? In parentheses, have a legit chance at making a run. Tim, I'll give you a true 30 here.
Tim, are you going O, or are you going D, or are you going both?
I'm not no wide receiver because that's too easy. On offense, you know what? How about something pretty easy? How about Mitchell Evans? Now that he's the guy, you know, Notre Dame, since your buddy Anthony Fasano, ever since Fasano, every tight end that has started, has been the main starter, has been drafted. Mitchell Evans, your time's up. Replace Michael Mayer. Enjoy that. I'm just thinking off the wide receiver. We can mention 15 wide receivers, you know, running backs. We know he's coming back. Offensive guard, flip a coin. I'm going to go with Mitchell Evans. I like that pick.
Cool.
Defense.
Defense. Who needs to step up on D? Jeez Louise, Riley Mills.
Okay.
I'm going to go a little Illinois high school football for you, Goolsby. How's that?
It's interesting. And I actually sat with Riley when they brought some former players back to the spring. So I've texted him a handful of times. And I'm going to continue to do so because, like, I can see stuff in his game that it's like, even physical stuff, you know, like if he could get loosen up his hips a little bit more, he's still kind of a little bit of a stiff athlete to me. I mean, physically looks the part, but I like that Riley Mills one. On O, this is like a little bit of an obscure thing, but I'm going with Estime. You know, I kind of want take a step back. Diggs is Reese's boy, right? So I believe that to be the case. Reese preferred Diggs over Estime. I would like to see Estime become a household name in 2023 on offense. It's like a true breakout, like a household name type thing, a star. I think he has that makeup. And on D, I'm going with a combo, and it's Jalen Snead, Prince Kali. Like, they're just a kind of a package deal for me. Like, one of those two kids has got to pop and play them, but then they're going to pop. If you play them, they'll pop. Put that on a t-shirt. But those two to me, are a combo. Like, it has to happen. You can't bring a five-star kid in here and let him collect dust for 2 years. It can't, if we're trying to build what Freeman's trying to build, you can't do stuff like that.
So, I mean, just jump on the linebacker thing, Mike. How do you do that? When it's obviously Marcus Freeman's going into the season. He went out and got a quarterback for a couple months. He's obviously selling everything out for 2023. How do you do that when all your linebackers are returning? Let's just say they're returning, whether they're bad, good, whatever. You got 3 fifth-year experienced football players that played a lot of football at Notre Dame. Who do you sit?
So this is something I was thinking. Great question, Tim. Great question. Look at us feeding off of one another, huh?
Yes.
Great question. So I was thinking about this the other night. And in some form or fashion, I was actually, Tim, to answer your question, I was thinking about this as it pertains to DJ Brown. No. Like, you've been here, DJ. Like, we know what you are, right? So you're going to go into spring as second string. Part of your responsibility on this team as a leader, as a whatever, fifth-year guy, is to develop kids. Like, I can't afford to give you these reps, DJ, because you know the defense and we know what you are. We love you. But now, for the sake of the team, I've got to bring these – you've got to help me bring these other guys up as a coach. Does that make sense, Mike? Like, what I'm saying?
Does that happen? Like, does that happen in college, though?
Well, yeah, I think it absolutely does. Okay. It absolutely does. And, you know, like, I've been a fifth-year captain. So, like, if you see a young – like, Zibby talked about it, dude. It's your job to help develop young kids.
If you're a fifth-year captain, they're taking some of your reps away.
But they're not my reps. I mean, that's the whole point. And a kid like DJ knows.
Okay.
Or ought to know. It's like, hey, man, you're kind of maxed out. We love you as a player. You're reliable. Part of your responsibility now, DJ, Marist, Kaiser, Bertrand, is to help develop, period. And that's, I'm going to be like assessing. I'm going to factor that into my assessment of you as a player. And then the other point, Tim, I've never shared this story. So Courtney Watson, who is a phenomenal player for Notre Dame, second round pick, Buckus finalist, 2003 is a Buckus finalist.
Yep.
So Courtney was a 3-star running back from Florida, like 190-pound running back. They move him over to defense. And Coach Kirk Dowell, who's a great coach, I'm telling you, Tim, every single practice, Coach Dowell had his arm around Courtney, and he got like one-on-one tutelage all spring because it was like he had so much ground to make up. And then the byproduct of that is he ends up being, you know, a second-round pick, and Courtney could fly. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from him, but to speed up that development, it takes time. So, Max Bull, you're the new GA. Your job, MF-er, is to focus on those two kids. You know, these other starters, they're good. You focus on those two.
And if those two kids hit and you really focused on them.
It makes you look great. It
makes you look great. And now you're
our next linebacker coach. I don't think there's anything wrong with like just putting it out there, especially like a DJ Brown is a perfect example. You're a great, serviceable, like your quality. you know, you're going to play special teams in the NFL, but part of your job and your responsibility, my ask of you as a coach, is to help develop these young kids. And I don't think there's anything wrong with asking a JD Bertrand to do so. Same thing, different position.
Yeah, it's a great point. But now Prince Kali, it's a year three. And it's like,
but then the other thing too, sorry to keep it out. Another thought, and I think I mentioned this during the message board. Last year we rotated like three linebacker groups, three safety groups, three D line groups. And as the season went on, I kind of went to like 1.5, 2.
Yep.
But stagger it. JD, dude, is a solid Mike. He's just small. So JD, you play with Prince, you know, and Kaiser at will or whatever. Kaiser, you slide into Mike, and then you play with Snead. So you balance out the experience and the know-how. I don't think that that's like impossible to do in terms of you experience Mike, inexperience Will. And you know, experience Will, inexperience Mike, whatever.
Folks, please do hit the thumbs up on this video if you are just joining us here recently. It really helps what we support. Help support what we're doing here at Blue and Gold, and subscribe to our YouTube channel for more content. We're posting, I think, like 3 videos, 4 videos a day sometimes. Like, we are seriously churning out the content, so please do subscribe to our channel so you don't miss anything. Top YouTube channel cover Notre Dame football, in my opinion. I mean, the numbers even bear it out, but that's a different discussion for a different day. Okay, a comment here. I saw this. It was 12:43 a.m. that I tweeted this out the morning of February 18th. So I think this was like Saturday. Past midnight, I saw this guy's comment on our YouTube video, and I don't do this, but I had to just tweet it. I wanted to put it out in the Twitter sphere, get reaction, and oh yeah, I got it. So this is what Colin said. Colin, if you are watching this,
damn, you're putting Colin on blast.
He posted it on a public forum. It's a YouTube comment. I mean,
he comments back.
It's there.
Colin, real quick, Colin, DM Singer, and we'll get you on the pod.
Yeah. Here you go. All right, so this is what Colin said. This was, I think this was on our show. I don't know if it was the
– I'm going to message him right now, Mike, while you're reading this.
There you go. This was a YouTube comment, by the way, Mike, so this wasn't – I don't know if he's on Twitter. But Colin posted on our YouTube video. I don't remember which one. He said, this was the last straw, this being Ludwig. After 35 years of being a diehard fan, and after at least $200,000 spent on Notre Dame, at Notre Dame, and donated to Notre Dame, I am done, in all caps. I won't spend another dollar or watch another game. They are not interested in winning. Swarbrick needs to go. End of story. My tweet was, I'll give it a week. Like, if it didn't, you know, if you didn't have this reaction after the Marshall game, but or the Stanford game, but it's the Andy Ludwig buyout thing, which, by the way, is disputed. I know Eugene in our YouTube comments says it's not. It's factual that it was all about the buyout, but it really depends on who you want to talk to. So while Goolsbee does whatever Goolsbee's doing right now, Tim, I want to you. I mean, the comments are either like,
oh, I love the comments.
I'll show you the door, or heck yeah, he's absolutely right. And all of you are probably going to end up buying Peacock again for the season and watching some Notre Dame versus a MAC team or FCS, whoever they're playing on Peacock. So my reaction to this is a huge overreaction, but Tim, lifelong Notre Dame fan and Marine, Goolsbee, Notre Dame alum. You guys tell me your thoughts on this. Like,
Singer, Potster.
Potster, yeah. Of course, just looking for some good content, naturally. I like Logan's comment here over. I'm really building this up. Logan says, a lot of strong reactions for not getting an OC from Utah. People acting like Notre Dame missed out on Lincoln Riley. I think that's a good comment, Logan. But yeah. Goolsbee, let's go to you first. Is this an overreaction, or is Notre Dame not spending reportedly the money on Ludwig just kind of a bigger picture of the problems with Notre Dame?
It's hot potato. I'm giving it to Tim. I know Tim's got thoughts.
Tim. Because I know where Tim stands on it, so I was kind of hoping you took the other end. And
yeah, but the audience doesn't, Mike.
All right, go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, it's overreaction. I mean, we know it's, at least in my opinion, it's overreaction. It was wildness. This, oh, I'm never going to watch Notre Dame a day in my life again. Okay, then don't. Then don't. If you're a good Catholic, go follow BC. Okay, there you go. Go do that. Whole thing's overreacting. My favorite, by the way, Mike, which I just went on there, you sent us that tweet. So I went and read all the comments earlier today. My favorite's over under, but Vegas lines, 5.5 days he'll be back. So we'll see if he's back. That was my favorite line. No, the entire thing was overreaction. So, but what I want to know is, talking about money, Notre Dame and money, Goolsby mentioned this about 45 minutes ago. He mentioned the name Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly left. He had, he talked about this list and things of that nature. Swarbrick says, oh, we're doing a bunch of this stuff. When do we learn about this? That's what I want to know. When do we start learning some of these things about money, advancements, staff, what's the first thing Brian Kelly mentioned? He mentioned the freaking nutrition. So when's Notre Dame going to get that thing built? Those are things I would like to know, as we start talking about money in Notre Dame and what's going to happen for the players. What are they going to be getting out of this? But to me, complete overreaction. Anyone who jumped on Twitter saying fire 72 people and blow the admin building up, and people jumping on YouTube going crazy screaming. And I mean, there are so many videos. It is ridiculous. Like Notre Dame told Urban Meyer, you can't come. That's basically what it sounds like. So it's ridiculous. So and the other thing is, you're going to, you just said it, Singer, you're going to believe what you want to believe, what narrative you want to fit. Notre Dame doesn't want to win, but I'm going to keep following them. Or Notre Dame is trying to win, and they scratch their head on this crazy, insane buyout that no one else in America has. So they took a pause to read some lawyer language in a contract. And one thing, the Pete Thamel, he used one word about the buyout, and it flipped everyone out. No one could believe a nearly 60-year-old coach wants to stay where he's born and raised. No one could believe that. So that's my two cents.
So there's a lot to unpack there. So I do think that the response to the news was obviously an overreaction. I think, the whole narrative behind the we won't pay the buyout. There's obviously some truth to that, Tim, like what we were talking about earlier, like a 60K, a 40K, that's reasonable, a 2.8. I mean, at the end of the day, Notre Dame is a business, and that would be bad business to pay $3 million to buy out an assistant coach. So, yes, you're going to support a coach to a degree. But, yeah, I do think, we know this, fellas. Again, conflict creates content. People glom on to negativity. Sometimes those in the Notre Dame analysts, YouTube world, they come on so strong that people just glom onto it. It's like moth to a flame. And it's like, you got to calm down and think about it. Colin, not to put Colin on blast, but I mean, there's a million Colins out there that were overreacting to that news. But yes, it absolutely was messy and it was a little bit clunky. But to your point, Tim, you keep trying to bring this up via text messages, like the facility thing with Kelly and the nutrition, like a team training table. So for those people watching at home, like as a Notre Dame athlete, football player included, there is no training table. There is no, I mean, there's a team dietitian that'll tell you what you should be eating or shouldn't be eating. But you go to the dining hall with the regular students. That'll never change, Tim.
Yeah, I know.
That'll never change at Notre Dame because, again, at Notre Dame, as a even if you're Brady Quinn, you're in the eyes of the administration, Brady Quinn's just a regular student that happens to play football. That's the way they'll look at it. And whether they're lying to themselves, that's just the way they look at it. So that nutrition piece will never change. The facility thing, it's kind of tacky of like, when you go back to like how Freeman answered that, and Freeman stood up at that press conference, fellas, and took all those bullets and said all the right things. To me, that's a man, that's a leader. Yes?
Yeah.
So for Brian Kelly to be like, well, they won't give me a facility. It's like, well, also, you're a fucking terrible recruiter. Right, Tim? So, yeah, both things can be true.
Yes.
So don't blame your lack of success on, oh, they won't give me what I want. It's like, okay, well, if you recruit, then maybe you'll get the facility, right? Yeah. You see where I'm going with that?
Well, I mean, I've said a thousand times.
Like, it's like a bitch move to be like, well, I'm not getting the facility. I'm out of here. It's like, well, you also didn't recruit.
Yeah. No. And my wife said it best. You know, she's class of 02. She says, man, he was here for 12 years. He didn't win a title. Move on. So, but no, I agree with the Kelly
thing. I don't think the nutrition thing will ever change. And like I've said, so, it's nice to be able to mix in with the student body and be able to take a breath of fresh air, you know, away from football. And I think the facilities are on par.
Okay.
I do.
Now I got to mark this podcast as explicit, but hey, the people love it.
Delete. You can pause that. You got the technology, but, So
I like it.
Well, let me ask you, you know, going back to the overreaction.
If Freeman recruits and we make playoffs, et cetera, like this thing that we're like building, and we haven't even talked about 2023 versus 2024. Maybe it's another pod.
Yeah, that's another.
Mike always kicks us out of here. Mike, leave and then come back to close it out. But, you know, if Freeman, you know, if you win, the facilities and all that will come. I want to believe that donors come, enrollments go up. That's just the way the world works.
Let me ask you a quick question on this overreaction. Do you think some of this is about Kelly and Reese going to the SEC? These guys, people want to win so bad to be able to go on Twitter, to go on YouTube and to just say, oh, we won in spite of you guys. Don't you think some of this is about Kelly leaving to the SEC? And then Kelly obviously wins another 10 games, wins the SEC West, beats Alabama at LSU. Reese goes to the devil, which is Alabama, right? He's going down south. Don't you think some of this overreaction is just guys wanting so badly for Notre Dame to win and just to shove it in Kelly and Reese's face now? So that hockey game, that I don't care what Freeman says, the hockey game, a huge mistake. Don't ever do it again because it just got the fans in an uproar. We have Andy Ludwig to replace Tommy Reese. This is awesome. And then that overreaction just went.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably validity to that, Tim. And I think there's validity to that. But I would challenge Notre Dame fans. What makes you a Notre Dame fan? You can go be an Ohio State fan. It's a corrupt program. Go be an Ohio State fan. Like go down to Texas. Like go be a Texas fan. Like you want to win. What makes you a Notre Dame fan? Yes, your grandpa was probably a fan. The fandom gets passed down to your dad, and then he passed it down to you. That's just how fandom tends to work, especially in that Notre Dame world. But, like, the reason that you're a Notre Dame fan, Tim, is because it's freaking different.
Different.
Like, I had to go to class. Oh boy, dude, I almost failed out my freshman year. 1.78 GPA after a 17-year-old freshman, you know, traveling. Almost failed out, but, like, I graduated. Like, I got through Notre Dame. I did everything. I was in study hall for 4 years. Like, that's what makes Notre Dame special, and that's what you root for. And if you do end up winning one, it makes it, like, that much sweeter because we do things the right way. End of story.
Well, I'm wearing my Notre Dame hoodie, and I'm in the grocery store. I get it, like, once a month. I got a ton of hoodies. And I always, oh, Notre Dame sucks. And I just always just say, yeah, but those guys go to class, so – how do you not root for guys that go to class?
I've had that conversation like when I lived. Love to go to the bar and mix it up, dude. You know, college football Saturday, especially in my younger years. But it's like, you know, you'd have some – and Ohio State fans are the worst.
Speaking of Ohio State.
There's a guy in my gym that's got Ohio State tat, and it's like, I know you didn't go there, dude. Like, that's an Ohio State fan.
Hey, speaking of Ohio State, hold on. Did you hear the news this week? Fields, the quarterback for the Bears, talking about
that was like a fake tweet or something where he said he was.
No, he was on a podcast talking about he got what roughly $300,000 to $400,000.
I saw the headline, and I've never heard the audio. I couldn't get the audio to work.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Well, so. you'd be mixing it up at the bar and be like, "What are you a fan of? You're a fan of exploitation, mutual exploitation. The kid's trying to use an Ohio State to get to the league, and then the Ohio State sells him that dream." And then X percentage of them make it, and the rest of them walk out of there with no degree and like empty handed. It's like, it's kind of gross, you know, graduation rate of 40% with a, you know, resort management degree or whatever. But I do think that there's some validity to what Colin's saying as a player. Back like when I was there, I don't think the facilities, like I told you that story where back in the day before they renovated the locker room, like the stadium locker, they ran a garden hose out of a shower head up through the ceiling tile and into like the Gatorade fountain machine. And we'd be like, big time program. And it was so bush league, you know, for a program like Notre Dame, you can't like tap a water line or anything like that. So there is an element to
Goolsby.
I'm saying, sorry.
Absolutely. I mean, you know how many comments we get where it's like, oh, Notre Dame needed to penny up here. Dozens upon dozens of comments. But just one where a guy who seems pretty smart, if he's really spent
Sounds like a graduate.
If he's really spent $200,000 on Notre Dame, Colin's got a little cashola. Man, this is the first guy we spent a whole 15 minutes on. So, Colin, bravo to you, dude. But seriously, like,
where's our sponsorship?
When I was 10 years old and I would get in a fight with my mom, I hate you, mom. I wish you weren't my mom. I'm 10 years old. I don't mean that. I love my mom. But for Colin to be like, Notre Dame didn't get Andy Ludwig, the Utah offensive coordinator. I'm packing my bags and I'm out. That's the thing, Goolsby. It's like, I'm not a Notre Dame fan anymore. I'd be like, man, bye. Bye. There's the door. Like, over this?
But some of that's like, no, I'm with you, bro. But some of that's like societal, and that this social media bullshit makes everybody feel like their voice is important and whatever.
Clearly, this guy got 15 minutes.
Yeah, so it's like, but I'm just saying, it's like, dude, Colin or Jack or Jeff or Karen or whoever, like, nobody cares. You know what I'm saying? Get off Twitter. But I think that could be a good, like, fun segment of, like, tweet of the week, you know, going into the season or something like that. You know?
I've totally tossed around the idea of just doing a show where we just go through YouTube comments.
They're the best. Sure.
Just go through YouTube comments because they are hysterical. My favorite YouTube comment I've ever gotten was a guy saying, I hope this guy's watching right now or listening. He said, man, listening to that Mike Singer guy is like getting a root canal. It's like, it's worse than getting a root canal. I was like, damn, that hurts, but that's funny.
Yeah,
some good YouTube comments.
Comments. I love the comments. It's the best on YouTube after shows. I love going and chatting with everyone and seeing what's on there. And there's some diehard people that watch all our shows and comment and love just talking Notre Dame. And then you get the Goolsby, you know, the Buckeye guys. Whoa, you haven't won a title in so long. Okay, well, thanks for watching our show. I don't care. You know, thanks for coming.
You know, this is another thing, and I've never. I don't know if it's been done, but all this recruiting material that goes out, Tim, to these kids, the flyers or whatever, I would love to know, like, if this is, you know, Notre Dame recruiting pitch, we're going to take the W-2s of Notre Dame football athletes from 1980 on, and let's take an Ohio State, take a Texas, take a USC. I want to see what Notre Dame acts football players, and you can throw in the Ohio State, like, you know, first round picks or whatever. I would love to see that figure. You know, because like I said, Notre Dame represents more than football, represents just success. Obviously, football success is a big part of that overall success, kind of in refinement. But just don't lose sight. Notre Dame fans, if you get frustrated, don't lose sight of why you're a fan, because we do things different. We do things the right way. And as long as we can recruit, brother, the winning will come. That's what it all comes down to. And you know it, Tim. it comes down to getting the kids.
It's all about the kids and getting the, you know, the right mix of coaches together. And God, I mean, we need to come back. I see we're over an hour. We need to come back because Goolsby and I have been dying to talk about 23. And is Notre Dame selling out for a rental quarterback? I want to get in this conversation.
All right, listen.
I don't know if I have it in with me, Tim.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not that my wife's not even here. I can talk for another hour. It's more about I want a little bit. You know, we got to save some good stuff for next week, Tim. We got a long off season, dude.
Always. No, we have a long one, and we've just been chatting. It's been like
I'm proud of you, Tim. Dude, Tim, Mike has come over to my kind of perspective. You know,
on the
Sam Hartman, Tyler Buckner, 2023 rental quarterback.
I've developed that up. I think I might be able to sway Tim back my way.
He's very easily swayed, my Tim Hyde. I just got to give him a good analogy.
Okay. I like Hartman. I understand. I've always said I understand why he's there. He's a heck of a quarterback. He's a darn good football player. But what do you get out of it? That's what I want to know. I mean, seriously. I mean, what do you get out of it? If all your quarterbacks are on the bench, running backs are returning. You're all the wide receivers are returning in 2024, but they didn't get to work with any of these quarterbacks.
It's messy.
What's more important, a year two or a year three with the I'm all into this expanded playoffs. What's more important, going 10-2 with Hartman, going to the Gator Bowl?
Notre Dame thinks they can win a playoff game this year.
A playoff game. So they're going to go beat an SEC football team with, okay.
With a 275-pound nose, Tim. Yeah, that's what we're saying.
And wide receivers are running by what SEC DBs?
Are those receivers changing next year?
The same ones, a year older, right? I don't know, but they're all another year experience. Winning a playoff game means you're going to the championship game.
That's how that works.
So the coaching staff, me and Goolsby, God, we got to prep some notes on this one. So the coaching staff feels this is a national championship football team in 2023.
Go back and watch that. There was 4 points that I was kind of building my entire argument around. Yes, and to me, Tim, 2024 is much more so the year when all these players are primed and kind of peaking. So get Tyler the reps for 2023 to peak in 2024. And then everybody loves to assume that because if Tyler were to play quarterback for us next year, that we're going to lose 4 games, which is like, again, it's intellectually dishonest. Like, you yes. can't say that. And I just that's where I'm at.
All right.
You know, because then you're going to roll out whomever, if it's Tyler, if it's Minshew, it's whomever in 2024 with potentially 2 brand new tackles, you know, no experience, no feel for their wide receivers. Yeah, you know, don't cut off your nose to spite your face for 2023. Freeman's not losing his job, Tim. That was your big argument of playing Hartman in 2023. It was all his job.
We're just giving teasers.
Hold on, a quick teaser.
I'm out of here.
A quick teaser from Singer is his sources are saying they could win a playoff game. So that means they're going minimal 2-1 versus the big three this year.
Okay, let's also just say I hope Notre Dame thinks they can win a playoff game. I mean, if they're sitting here saying,
I hear you. We suck.
I mean, they believe in Sam Hartman.
But that's one guy.
It's a pretty important position.
True. Oh, no, I agree. The whole Hartman coming to Notre Dame, I understood it. When the news broke, I'm like, when I said he was the starter and Goolsby got mad at me, I'm like, well, yeah, he is the starter. I was just being Captain Obvious. There is no they're not going to have a competition, so they're going to give it to him. What do you get from that?
Goolsby, do you want to come on next Wednesday?
I'm down, dude.
Let's talk some 2023 football.
All right. So, Tim, I need
– why can't Tim come on my Sunday night show?
Because I don't like doing Sunday nights as much as I like doing Wednesday nights.
That's the question. That's the answer.
That's the answer.
Wednesday's easy. It's
Wednesday's my family.
Yeah, who said I do, though? How did I get stuck with those Sunday night shows? That was all born out of
– That was your idea. Sundays was your idea.
Yeah, but that was in season, so I could watch the game.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
You know, watch the game back.
Yeah, we can move to Mondays.
Nothing like doing, by the way, post-game shows, 30 seconds. Oh, and Singer's like, hurry up. And I've got, like, notes. I'm like, oh, my God, what happened in the second
quarter? I don't say hurry up. I don't rush you. I'm just like, hey, I'm ready when you guys – that's my thing. It's, hey, I'm ready when you guys are.
I like this guy. He says Ohio State's more winnable this year.
Okay, so, Tim, what I need you to do is, because I always tell you, hey, Tim, we're going to save this for next week. So you have to be my notes guy, because I can't stay on top. I can't remember all that.
I got it right here, Mike.
Goolsby, appreciate your time tonight. Great work. And we'll get you on next week, because, yeah, we had still one more topic that we were going to get to tonight that we will not, which kind of ties into the 2023 There's 2024 discussion a little bit, but yeah, Goolsby, great work tonight, my friend.
Hey, thank you. And just a thought.
Okay.
Let's get one of these on-screen timers, you know, so it's like, Tim, 1 minute, Clock starts now, so we can see the top. You know, like almost like a presidential debate. That's how we need to do this to keep.
That's funny.
I'll look. Can I be Trump? Can I be Trump and just butt in all the time then?
Okay, I think that's a good time to end the show. All right, folks, really do appreciate everyone's time tonight. Please do hit that thumbs up. Subscribe to our YouTube channel for more Notre Dame football content. That was Tim Hyde and Mike Goolsby. I'm Mike Singer, and tonight's show. Appreciate everyone watching or listening wherever you are. Yeah, head over to bloomandgold.com. That's your place for all Notre Dame football coverage. This has been this week's Notre Dame football show. Appreciate you all, and we'll catch you next time.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.